right, so you got the Mask and the Assassin album coming out. First, what made you guys decide to get together to do this album in the first place?
We did a Unity show, me and Jack, you know, and we've been actually started being around with each other like the most since probably 97. His boy Tone, who manages them now, comes over here and works at my studio. Like, he's a good friend of mine, and you know, me and Jack was like, hey man, we should do a project, man. It's been a long fucking time. So we came in and did one song. That shit came out so, the vibe was so good. We was like, let's just do this album, man. So we're just coming 2-3 days a week and bang it out on the side. So, you know, 30 days later, it was actually 30 days of recording. It took about 4 months, but actual recording was like 30 days. And we just wanted to make, he's one of the only cats that has musical sensibility like me. Like, I cannot chase trends or do commercial shit. And shit. I like to do shit to the left, shit that's very unorthodox, my own type shit, and not really give a fuck about anything. And Jack would pick beats like that I would make that I would basically pick for myself, you know what I mean? And it was just starting to flow like that. It was like, damn, you know what I mean?
All right. Going into the recording of the album, did you kind of feel pressure to top the DJ Muggs versus Jizza albums?
Right from the beginning, you know what I'm saying? Not only to top the Jizza Muggs record, but also to top any, you know what I'm saying? Muggs produced for pretty much everybody that's known in the hip-hop industry. So, you know, just doing a record with Muggs, you feel like it puts you on that level. And I didn't want to be at the bottom of the totem pole as far as, you know, just because I'm not as known as everybody else. You know what I'm saying? I wanted to do my best, man, and shine, and just, you know, I wanted to be one of the best records Muggs has ever done, you know?
All right, so it sounds like you guys got some good chemistry. So, going into the album, what was your guys' objective for the whole thing?
I told him, let's just don't do a record with a bunch of songs. Let's try to figure out a concept and do a concept album. So, you know, we did a lot of conspiracy stuff and a lot of true stories. But if you listen to the record, man, there's no slang, there's no drug tales, there's no cartels. Jack wrote this shit very intelligent, very fucking, very intelligent, and we just wanted to stay away from everything that people are sick of. And this is a record we made. Was like, this is what we like, this is what we want to hear. You know, everybody talks about real hip-hop and hip-hop, and when I tell these motherfuckers, it's be the change you want to see in this business, you know what I mean? Jack never got fucking exposed to a major label in a bad way where it fucked him up, you know, so he still got that shit, you know, like where a lot of where he never reached, got to that other level where a lot of artists, like, what happens in the first two albums were banging because the industry and that money starts to fuck with your head, you know what I mean? And Jack never peaked to that level where he still got the shit, he's been honing his shit for the last 10 years, so he's earlier than ever right now.
What was your role in this new album, The Mask and the Assassin?
Man, my role in this record was pretty much to come through support, come with some creativeness on the record as far as concepts, picking beats, artwork, everything that had to do with creating a record, I had a part of it. I had to do a part of it as much as Jack and Muggs. Originally, when I was brought into the record, when Jack offered the opportunity to be a part of this album, you know what I'm saying? And of course, I got, you know, I hooked up with Muggs and I asked him if he wanted me to be part of the record. Jack wanted me to be a part of it if he was with it. And he was like, yeah, definitely. You know, I think you've improved a lot as an MC since I originally heard you. You know, and I think it'd be good if you're on this record. So I was like, cool. So then we got into the studio. Like I said, my job was just to help Jack create, you know what I'm saying? Because Muggs was coming with all the beats. And we all agreed on a certain sound and a certain topic that we wanted to do the record. So after that, it was just up to me and Jack to come up with all the concepts, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it sounds really interesting with the whole concept you guys are going for. So you came up with the legend of the Mask and the Assassin. How'd you come up with that whole...
Jack actually came up with the title, and it's, you know, it's history, you know what I mean? And it's basically, I'm the assassin, the soul assassin, and their symbol is the mask. So, you know, they're a legendary underground Los Angeles group. You know, they're motherfuckers that go sell out House of Blues 2 nights in a row. Ain't nobody doing that in L.A., you know? I don't even know if students do that 2 nights in a row.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of people don't know about them, but they remind me of Cypress in so many ways, dude, and it's just like, they don't stuff the fact that we're Chicanos down your fucking throat. You know what I mean? They just come out and make good, intelligent music, and they got their own fan base, and they make the music they want to make. They don't give a fuck what's going on in the world. They got the fuck you attitude, and the game I came up up in. You know, rap was very commercial, you know. That's what made me make my groups the way I did. It was Vanilla Ice, MC Hammer, Jazzy Jeff, The Fresh Prince, Young MC, Shooting Player. And I was in with that. I'm like, we're going against the fucking brand, you know, and you come from the NWA school, it's fuck you. You're not playing my record on the radio. You're playing my videos, fuck you. We don't care. We're doing our shit. And it's one of those records, the fuck you record. I don't need MTV. I don't need radio. I'm making more money now, not being on MTV and not being on the radio than I did when I was selling 3 million records on TV all fucking day. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
It's just all perception, man. Whoever they want to pump that day, they always want to pump the new tunes.
Yeah. All right.
Well, I mean, every record we do is pretty much concept-based. And when I sat down with Muggs, you know, we're pretty much the same page as far as what direction we wanted to take the record. We didn't want to do anything that he had done before, anything that I had done before. So we kind of just, you know, came out with the two characters, the mask and the assassin, and just kind of put them in this kind of fiction. It's not really fictional, but I mean, we made it seem that way because we tell stories. You know, but it's pretty much these two characters just pretty much placed in this surreal kind of environment that is pretty much equal to reality, just a little bit off the hinge.
Pretty much wanted to do something some end of, not end of, you know, some end of time shit, but not like end of time, but like like some shit that we were trying to think of something that had happened out here on Earth, like some catastrophe, like some crazy shit. And we went off from there, like, let's write, like, if we were in that period and we were trying to write songs about what was going on, you know what I mean? So, what led up to the way the world is going right now, you know what I'm saying? Like, we opened up the record with this song called The Initiation, and it's pretty much Jack being, you know, Jack takes it from a more Masonic secret society ritual being, you know, initiated into that. Me, I took it on a more Native American, you know, our ancestors, the way we were, you know, the way we did rites of passages, and just not, you know, going through these rites of passage and this time and ever, because, you know, the kids nowadays, they're still rites of passage, but different now, like in the streets, kids are gang banging, and you know what I'm saying, and that's a rite of passage for them, joining the gang, you know, and now you're a man and do this, but that's the wrong way of doing it, you know what I'm saying, and then we got songs in there like called Stairs to the Beast, which is pretty much an outline of everything, the way government and everything's been working to get us to where we're at now, you know what I'm saying, warring religion, you know what I'm saying, putting chips in your identification cards and your passport to try to have more control and domination over the people, you know, so the content is basically along those lines right there.
Okay. How would you describe the chemistry between you two guys in the studio?
Man, it was big. You know, it was magic. We went in there, Muggs. You know, Muggs supplied the tracks. Me and Simic were on the vocal side and the concept side, and everything just flowed, man. It was real smooth.
All right. Tell us about like a typical recording session in the studio between you guys when you guys were doing this.
Well, it's like I'm not a beat maker. I don't make beats and try to sell beats. I collaborate. I have artists come in. I play them an idea. Well, if they like the idea, then I finish it. You know what I mean? And I take it to where it needs to go. And I'll get it to about a halfway point, and then he'll rhyme on it, and then I'll finish the beat. You know, we'll come in,
okay.
Jack will basically, yeah, I like that, and then I'll work on it. He'll write a rhyme, he'll lay the rhyme, he'll leave. I'm a collaborator in the sense where I make albums. I come from a group. I come from a time and an era where all the best groups were self-contained. You had Public Enemy made their own music. Ultramagnetics made their own music. EPMD did their own shit. Gangstar did their own shit. Drake did his own shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I'll sit down with Jack and I'll play him an idea and he'll go, I like that. So then he'll start writing to the idea and I'll finish it up a little bit, get it about halfway done, and then he'll rhyme on it and then he'll leave and I'll finish the beat up after and tailor make the beat to what he wrote. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
So we're not just throwing the beat together with a rhyme. But everything flowed really fucking good, man. You know, his aesthetic for picking music that actually make the album sound like an album is great. You know what I mean? Because a lot of motherfuckers don't know how to pick music, so you should never listen to the cohesiveness of an album. And it ain't together. You know?
Yeah.
Like I said, we come from the time and the era where everybody made their own records, one producer. You know what I mean? So it gives it that vibe.
It sounds like a true collaboration. So a lot of people these days are like sending each other across the country, like sending their files together. What's your opinion on that?
People close anyway. Oh, that's cool. You know what? If you gotta get it done like that, that's cool, man. You know what I mean? To be enough at the same time and do something. That's cool too. However it takes to get it done. I don't know if one way is better than the other. I like to bounce ideas off of somebody. I like the real deal. Even with business, I'm not into the I'll email as much, but then I like to sit down with the person. It just seems like you get so much more done with FaceTime than you do either over the phone or through emails.
Yeah. This album seems very innovative, so do you feel like coming up with something, like thinking outside the box a little bit, is maybe a solution to the music industry since it's in such a slump right now?
Well, I mean, as you know, bro, the music industry is pretty much a trend, you know what I'm saying? That's why we never really consider ourselves part of the music industry, you know what I'm saying? We make music, it doesn't necessarily mean we fall into that category. Me personally, I don't give a fuck what everybody else is doing in the industry. You know, I'm pretty much, I do music that I want to listen to, I do music that I want to hear, and I do music pretty much that I know the fans are going to appreciate. I don't underestimate their appreciation for music. I don't underestimate their want for a good hip-hop record. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to jump on the bandwagon and do a commercial record just because commercial records are what's selling. You know what I'm saying? Because those records ain't even selling. You know what I'm saying? My records, I've been independent since 98 and they sell steady, so I never really, you know what I'm saying? I don't ever take that into consideration, but we always do that.
What do you expect fans will get out of this album?
Satisfaction, you know what I'm saying? Another good record brought to you by the Cycle Realm crew and the Cypress Hill family, you know?
Man, I mean, for those that never heard us, that are familiar with our names, I'm sure not even most people are familiar with DJ Muggs, but for those that are not familiar with Sick Jacket and myself, Cynic or Cycle Realm Six Symphonies, I hope they're able to, you know what I'm saying, to appreciate and realize that, you know what I'm saying, we're good rappers, we're just as good as anybody else, and we make good music and good songs at that, because there ain't too many rappers that make songs nowadays, so they make albums, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Everybody makes ringtone music like that. That's the goal now, you know what I'm saying, to be on the motherfucking phone. You know what I mean? That's not our goal. We still believe in creating good music, good records, you know what I'm saying? And our fans will definitely enjoy this record. It'll be a reminiscence of that old Mark sound, that grimy, mystical, you know, boom-back fucking rap shit, that early 90s, mid-90s sound. And, you know what I'm saying, it's basically, you know, the same dark topic that we always speak of. So I know our fans will definitely enjoy this record, you know, their favorite albums, I think, from DJ Muggs and from myself.
I think LA has a certain scene, and everybody thinks LA is a gangster underground scene. You know, all the artists you have out here, you have that scene. You have another scene with the Murs and the Jurassic Fives and shit, which is a real. That's more in the native tongue vein, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But there's a certain scene, and there's a certain movement in hip hop that I see that it's again. Public Enemy fans and the Cypress Hill fans and these fans were, it was hardcore music, but it wasn't gangster rap, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it was hardcore shit where punk rock white kids that don't like rap would like it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So with La Coca Nostra and with the record me and Jack are doing, it's like it's a whole new scene in LA, a whole new movement, a whole new aesthetic of this stuff that's been missing for a minute. I think that will bring it back right now. DJ FM just put out the street mixes. He's probably gonna be working on an album where, you know, he produces and features, you know, a bunch of different artists. Duke is working on a lot of beats. You know, he's running all our online operations, the cycleroomonline.com website. He's working on tracks. He's producing and helping out a lot of up and coming artists. I mean, we're just staying busy, bro. You know, we got kids to feed, we got music to put out before we die, and we're trying to leave that legacy that's gonna last for, you know, a few decades, huh?
Right now, I'm working on a street record right now. It's like a mixtape, but we call them street records now. All original, mostly produced by myself, but, you know, I'm gonna try to get before a beat from Muggs, a beat from Jack, a beat from DJ Khalil. But since I'm a producer myself, and I want to be able to show that side of it, so I want to be the MC and the producer on my shit. I'm also in this group called Street Platoon. I'm working on that as we speak. I'm working with La Coca Nostra. I just did some track for Ill Bill for his new record coming out in a few months. Just keep working, you know. I'm trying to branch out a different shit, movies, all that shit.
Okay, you got your own record company, Angels Records, so what else is going to be coming out on that pretty soon?
I don't know what I'm doing with that at this point. I'll put that on pause right now. It's too much work for me to just market, promote, direct, and do all that shit. I'm just busy. I'm not doing that with Planet Asia right now. Me and Planet Asia got about 8 bad songs done. DJ Muggs versus King Medallions. And,
oh, that's going to be exciting.
So I was quite put that on that choice. I might find another home for it. You know, it depends what we're going to do with a real hardcore underground hip-hop record. And nothing like you've ever heard Asia sound like before. I'm giving him more direction than he's had, I think. I think the was an incredible lyricist. I just think sometimes he gets all this energy going in like 3 or 4 directions when he needs it all to go in one. And I think that's just from not having one producer sit down and work with him on a record and kind of guide him in a certain kind of a way that he needs to be guided. You can guide him, but I got my own way to do it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And right now I'm scoring this movie called Night Watchmen, which stars Keanu Reeves and Forest Whitaker from the creators of Training Day. So that should be out in February. So we've been deep in on that.
Wow. Tell us about that, your experience scoring a film. I know it's probably a different type of role.
Well, a couple scenes for Training Day. David S. wrote it, and David S. directed a movie called Harsh Time. I did about 5 or 6 scenes for that, so he liked the way it went, so he called me in to do this with an actual composer together in the same room called Graham Revell. So, you know, you got the piece of back watching you, guiding you through things, but Dave's cool. He just says, go ahead and do what you want. You know, you get a lot of tempo changes, a lot of tension, and just loop on. Because, you know, if there's a scene happening and then the car speeds up and shit happens, you'll realize the tempos will change 20 times in 35 seconds, you know what I mean? That's all that orchestration shit. So it's learning. I'm humbling myself. I'm coming into the game brand new. I'm just keeping my ears open and my mouth shut, bringing what I do and just learning and absorbing, just being a student. And it's fun to me.
Cypress Hill album in the future, or are you guys looking after that?
I'm not touring with Cypress no more, and I'm only doing probably 2 to 4 songs on the new album. So I know they're working on the album now, and I'm going to get with them when they can finish a little bit of it to do a few songs.
Okay.
So I don't know when that record will be done.
All right. Is there anything else you want to say to all the fans on WCNN?
Yeah, man, I just want to thank everybody for the support. You know what I'm saying? I tell my fans all the time, man, I got the best fans in the whole world. I'm not just saying that, you know what I'm saying? They give us nonstop love and support, man. We appreciate it. They help us keep doing this shit. Without them, we wouldn't be able to keep going. If they want to hit us up directly, man, you can hit us up, PsychoRealmOnline.com, for all the latest news and info on PsychoRealm, RebelMusic.LA, for anything coming out of my label. And you could always send me a personal message on MySpace /SickJacket, you know what I'm saying, to find out anything that's going on with me and the crew. We're pretty much on network in the top friends, so anybody you want to get at, man, we respond to everybody. We're in real close contact with our fans, man. Hit us up.
Yeah, man, I'm a big fan of WCNN, man. All you motherfuckers out there supporting, keep supporting, man. One of the hottest fucking websites representing the West Coast. I'm glad y'all are doing it, man. Giving unbiased opinions, giving the West Coast a real fucking light, because if you ain't fucking coming out of Dre's camp, a lot of motherfuckers don't know what's really going on in L.A., man.
Yeah.
You know, we need motherfuckers to give us light out here, because it's hard. And one disadvantage West Coast artists have, and I tell everybody, we don't have media. In New York, you got Vine, you got Double XL, you got The Source, you got Scratch, you got fucking Rides, you got MTV, you got BET. They're all based in New York, so anytime you go out, you're going to run into somebody at a party, and they're going to